What if we rewrite the stars? I love the words of that song about star-crossed lovers from The Greatest Showman. You claim it's not on the cards and fate is pulling you away and out of reach of me, but you're here in my heart, so who could stop me if I decide that you are my destiny? What if we rewrite the stars? Well, we can rewrite the stars, and what's more, I think we should. I'm Annie de Laveur, and I write and broadcast on shamanism and the star mysteries. So today I want to explain about how our destinies may not be what we thought they were. But first, we need to scroll back in time to the 70s. Some of you may be old enough to remember Linda Goodman's groundbreaking book, Love Signs. So you'll know it was a virtual manual for those of us who had our eyes on the stars, to instruct us on which sun signs we were compatible with and which, if we married them, would lead to certain divorce. She taught us how, say, those of the straight-talking flaming arrow of Sagittarius should only go for the more mysterious, meandering, mercurial Geminis, and that Virgos would only find relief from all that analytical nitpicking exactitude in the arms of a romantically dreamy going with the flow Piscean. Thanks to Linda, proud Leos exhausted after a long day's roaring in front of the mirror could now come home to the cool-headed, faithful, understanding Aquarius. While Scorpios, digging down into the depths of the agonising dark night of the soul, now had their brows soothed by stolid, reliable Taurus, after he'd returned from striding behind the harvester, making hay while the sun shines, and so on. Really, it was just the traditional adage that opposites attract, but with a zodiacal twist, which is fine, but what if it turned out that all along you never were, say, a Scorpio? That the sun was actually passing through Libra at the time of your birth? Because it probably was, according to live true sky astrology, which is much more realistic than the standard Western kind we've become used to. So if you were, unbeknownst to you, born not when the sun was passing through Scorpio but through Libra, you'd have been much better off with the uprushing energy of a fiery Aries to tip those balancing scales from time to time to keep your love alive. But it's not just Scorpios, it goes for all the other sun signs too. Under the live true sky system, you're far more likely to have been born in the sun sign behind the one that the one that you thought that you were born in. That'll explain a lot, you may be thinking, after a disastrous marriage to what you'd been assured was your perfect zodiac match. And especially after your last Saturn return, when the great reckoner would have come crashing in to break up your love nest and transform everything that was getting in the way of your real destiny. The unbeatable truth is, unless you know and love yourself, then it's impossible to attract Mr. or Mrs. Right in a way that gives you both a chance for a healthy and fruit-bearing relationship that will bless the earth. And Saturn knows this. I'll explain more about the Saturn return further on in this broadcast. But first I have to say how much I'm enjoying the reactions I'm getting from people after they receive a live True Sky reading from me. One messaged me that it was like being able to see through a brand new lens at the colours of her life. Another said it was like being given a new wardrobe of clothes that fit better. One woman found that it more described how she'd been feeling post-menopause, that time in our lives when we have the space finally, and not just practically but also biochemically, to access a deeper wisdom in ourselves. And another wrote to me, I feel the universe working through you is encouraging a shift in my awareness and beliefs in this area, something that is probably long overdue. This greater clarity about our lives comes from being shown where the cosmic rivers of the sun and planets were actually flowing at the day and time of our births, as opposed to a chart from Western tropical astrology in which those rivers were frozen into permanent winter to a time when the spring equinox was aligned with Aries by the philosopher and chief meddler, if you ask me, of the second century, Claudius Ptolemy. Going back to the teachings of the great mystery schools of Alexandria, astronomy and astrology always went together, like a horse and carriage or love and marriage. But since Ptolemy caused their divorce, they've not been speaking to each other. The stars of the Western zodiac went one way, and the stars in the skies went another. And it's only recently that we've had the opportunity to reunite them in our awareness. The spring equinox is now, in reality, not aligned with the fiery Aries, but more with the airy Aquarius, and so that just shows how much Piscean water has flowed under the bridge since then. True sky astrology allows us to rewrite our stars and so finally bring the steps of our dance below into greater alignment with the steps of the dance above. I personally found this course correction to be a bit like reincarnating into my own life, to steal a line from Carl Jung. It came to me as a great relief to realise there was no fault in my stars, that I no longer had to bend myself out of shape to try to fit with who I'd been told I was. It was as if I'd been trying to squeeze myself into a theatrical costume that I couldn't quite pull off, like an ill-fitting suit. On top of that, I've been able to bring in my 40 years' experience in studying ancient myths to help me interpret the constellations, which are not included in standard zodiac readings, like Cetus the whale, who swims in the underworld river of Eridanus, the hunter Orion, Aquila the eagle, Monoceros the unicorn, or Ophiuchus, the divine bridegroom. The planets, and sometimes the sun, pass on the ecliptic through these great stellar giants and mythical beasts, as well as the usual 12 constellations. And so, if, say, the planet Mercury was in the belly of Cetus the whale on the day and time of our birth, we need to know about it, because it holds great significance. What we have come to call the stories of these great star mysteries, myths, all began life as music. They were delivered in rhyming verses that were sung just like a song today. And the purpose of these sorts of bardic compositions was to highlight a stellar giant's psychological, emotional and spiritual significance to our lives. That's why I'm calling my form of divination star song oracles and an astrological reading with an astronomical difference. So let's go on to the Saturn return. Those who know about the stars and their importance to our lives are already familiar with the Saturn return. When the great reckoner comes back into our cosmic classroom to settle us down to our exams so we can discover how well we're doing in our life's quest and what still needs attention. The Saturn return is named as such because it refers to when this great gas giant completes his 29.5-year orbit around the sun to bring him back to where he was at the time of our birth. The words most associated with Saturn's influence are control, structure, limitations, practicality, discipline, sense of reality, and responsibility. In short, in my experience, Saturn is a strict teacher that makes us face parts of ourselves that we'd rather not look at because we know they're our weaknesses. Some psychologists call it confronting the dark side of our character, but it is only in the dark until Saturn shines a light on it to help us face our shadow and become whole. This is why the oldest tarot cards depict him as the hermit carrying a lamp. So anyway, even though his mission is ultimately positive and a boon, the effects of the Saturn return for many of us mere mortals can be devastating, or so they appear to our limited viewpoint at the time. Our lives can go into complete disarray. We keep hitting brick walls and we can suffer major loss or disillusionment. Saturn doesn't take any prisoners in his quest to realign us with our destiny. He is known as the Alpha and Omega of the zodiac for a reason. In governing both the signs of Capricorn and Aquarius, he also governs the process of death and rebirth of the mythological hero, aka all humans on Earth. This is the meaning of the symbol of the serpent shedding its skin. The Saturn return provides a threshold period of time for us, over about 3 years, to confront and process any outstanding issues and tie up all our loose ends so that we can pass cleanly through the portal to our new life stage ahead. Usually, for at least a year before his arrival, we can feel with our spidey senses his rigorous no-nonsense presence looming, and if we don't understand what it is and why it's so necessary, it can seem daunting and give us a sense of free-floating anxiety and dread. The reverberations of Saturn's visit continue rumbling for at least a year after his return, before our lives begin to settle down again and he goes off on his way. In the past, before we got access to whizzy new computer technology, you'd have needed an astronomer to consult star tables to gauge Saturn's return. But now it's much easier. And so with a live sky reading like Starsong Oracles, we can see exactly how far he is along his course and we can track his delivery, a bit like an Amazon parcel. We can chart his path so accurately that we can exactly pinpoint in advance the arrival of each return. Just as importantly, we can also see which other planets he's bringing with him to assist him with the death and rebirth, like fairy godmothers and godfathers. And as they say, forewarned is forearmed. So do contact me if you'd like me to rewrite your stars with a Star Song Oracles reading based on what the map of the night sky actually looked like on the day and time you were born, and what the fabulous beasts were actually singing to herald your nativity. And we'll also check out the passage of Saturn to see when he's next due to arrive. You've been listening to me, Annie de Laver. All my books are on Amazon, and if you'd like to support my work, I'm on Patreon as Shaman of Avalon.